Our text for this morning comes from the book of Exodus, chapter 20, verses 12 and 14, and can be found on page 66 in the Old Testament section of your pew Bible. Listen now for the word of God. Honor your father and your mother, so that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not commit adultery. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Would you pray with me this morning? We give you thanks, O God, for this time, this holy encounter with you and with your word as we worship you, Lord. As we confess our sins and are reminded of your great love and forgiveness, and now we are here to listen to you as you speak through the scripture. So, God, open us up to receive that truth, and may we learn from you this morning. In Christ's name, amen. So, what comes to mind when you hear the word family? For most of us, that's sort of the most important part of our life. I am so excited. My entire immediate family is here this morning. We are so excited. Many of you know my four kids, but a lot of you don't know them because the two oldest ones don't live in the area anymore, so you rarely get to see them. But they are here, and because my oldest daughter is here, guess what? That means my grandson is also here. He's not exactly here, but he's almost here. So I am so excited about that, in case you didn't recognize that before. Family. You know, we talk about our family, and it is one of the most important words in our vocabularies, because families matter. They matter hugely to us. And it's interesting, in these Ten Commandments, these ten very basic, fundamental, building block laws that God gives us, two of the ten deal with families, because families matter to God. And so I want to look at those two in particular. That's why we kind of skipped over one, and we'll come back to that next week. But the fifth and the seventh commandments are these commandments that deal with family life and our family systems and properly aligning those with God's intention for family life is hugely important. A couple of weeks ago at the youth ministry down at Crossroads, which is exploding, by the way. It's amazing down there what is going on. They do this exercise called family sculpting. And they ask the kids in their small groups to actually take other members of the group and have them represent their families and make a sculpture of what their families are like. And it's a fascinating exercise. To see the different ways in which families are composed and just how that has changed so dramatically over the last generation or two. You know, most people used to come from families that we would call these nuclear families of mom and dad and their biological children living under one roof. That was the norm. And then there'd be a few outliers. Today, that's not true anymore, is it? That nuclear family has become the exception because many, many people's families look very different from that. But God takes family life so seriously because those family systems, whatever they may look like, are the place in which you and I learn who we are. It's where identity is shaped and formed. And not only do they shape the identities of individuals, it's those systems that become the building blocks for all of the other structures of our culture and society. Families matter deeply. And whatever your family configuration may be, whatever your family system may look like, God's laws still speak into that place. And so we want to look at that. And so the fifth commandment, as you already learned, is honor your father and mother so that your life may be long in the land that God has given to you. It's a very interesting commandment. It's sort of unique in a number of ways. There are only two of the Ten Commandments that are a positive thing. The one that we looked at last week, and which is remember the Sabbath. It's a positive commandment. And now we have honor your father and your mother. All the other ones are don't. You know, these are placed in a different way. And that word honor in Hebrew has a multiplicity of meanings. It's a very difficult word to pin down because the way you honor somebody can be done in many, many, many different ways. It's a very inclusive word because it includes so many ways of living that out. One of the striking things about it is that it says, honor your father and mother, as Damaris clearly showed us a little while ago. This is a progressive commandment from God. Because this was written at a time of patriarchal societies where fathers were to be honored. Fathers ruled, sat at the head of the table, were the head of the household. Women were considered to be really secondary in the family system. And yet God's law says they should both be honored equally. The father and the mother are held up as people who are to be honored and respected. And I think that is incredibly significant that God sees those two in partnership with one another, having equal status in the family's eyes, both worthy of the same kind of honor being bestowed. It's the only one of the commandments that has a consequence that is connected to it. It says, honor your father and mother so that you may live long in the land that I am giving you. It's the only one that's like that. There is something about the honoring commandment that leads to a kind of a longevity or a continuity of generations in terms of how they live. And I'll talk a little bit more about that, but it's a kind of an interesting part of this particular commandment. The honoring of parents has to do with the continuity of the community and communal life. Interestingly, the target, the audience for this commandment are not little children. That's kind of how I've always heard that, right? Honor your mother and father is like for the kids who are up here, that they should obey mom and dad and do what mom and dad says them. That is true. There is nothing that is more upsetting to be out in public somewhere where you have a little kid treating their parents disrespectfully and the parents sort of like capitulating or not knowing what to do. You know, there are ways that we should expect respect from our children, and it doesn't have to be harsh or punitive. It's just simply that kind of behavior is not acceptable. We need to expect a culture of honor to be upheld in our families from the very early time. But that's not who this is directed toward. It's not really talking about little kids or even teenagers. The target audience of this commandment are grown-up adults. They're the ones who are being challenged, expected, commanded to honor their aging parents. Why would God take that particular cohort so seriously? Because again and again in the Word of God, it's the people who are the most vulnerable whom God has the greatest care for. And it's older people who are often become the most vulnerable people in society. You know, as people begin to age, they're not as strong. They're not as healthy, perhaps. It's very easy for that particular group to sort of get set aside, pushed to the sidelines, ignored, even left behind. But in God's eyes, those people are in need of a particular kind of care and honor and respect. And I think this is maybe where that promise comes in, that when you show honor and respect to that older generation, it's going to evidence itself in how the generations continue down the road. And it might be a very individual thing. I mean, think about it. If you don't take care of your older parents and model that for your children, how are they going to treat you when you're that age? Your life might not be very long in the land because no one's taking care of you, because that's how the older generation was treated. You know, caring for our parents as they get older can be a tremendous burden, but it's also often an opening for incredible blessing. And it certainly has been that way in my life. Do you all know that a big reason I'm standing here this morning is because of the fifth commandment? I used to live in Florida. I lived in Florida for 12 years. Florida is a cool place to live, in case you've never lived there. Man, we've got alligators. We've got palm trees. We've got springs gushing up from underground. We've got Disney World. We've got the Keys. We have got beaches. Like, it is a very cool place to live. People who live in Florida do not typically move to New Jersey. It's the other way around. But 20 years ago, when we were living there, my parents were just about to turn 70 years old. They were in really, really good health. But Liz and I both had this very deep sense that we needed to listen and pay attention to this particular commandment. My parents had 5 children, 2 in California, 1 in Texas, 1 in North Carolina, and 1 in Florida. And they lived in Wilmington, Delaware. Now, at that time, again, they were traveling. They were able to come see their children, their grandchildren. But, you know, things happen. And God really, I mean, He just put this in our heart. We need to be the ones to go back to show honor to my parents. And I'm telling you, what a gift these years have been that I've had the privilege of caring for my parents. Particularly in these last 8 years since my mom had her stroke, my dad with all his health problems, to be there for them on a continual basis. Friends, this has blessed me. And I deeply, deeply hope my 4 children have been paying attention. Because 60's knocking on the door and 70's just around the corner. I'm going to need some help. And I'm expecting you guys to step up to the plate so my life will be long in the land. You know, it's something about that honoring of that generation that's ahead of us, of really paying attention, that I think God uses that as a way of ensuring the passing on of the values and the heritage. You know, almost every generation, particularly in the time in which we live, thinks like the people who came before us don't know anything. They're kind of like useless dinosaurs. They don't know how to program their, devices. They think of us as sort of useless fuddy-duddies. But I'm telling you what, your parents, your grandparents are a storehouse of incredible wisdom. And it may have been a different challenge, a different technology, a different device, but they were faced with making some of the same hard decisions that many of you who are in your teenage years, your early young adult age years, are facing. And they made some very, very bad choices, and they learned from those choices, and to not consult that repository of great wisdom and counsel as you go through those years is to turn away from one of God's greatest treasures. You know, it's through the passing on of generations that not only is wisdom handed down, but that's how faith gets handed down. It's interesting, though, Jenna was reminding me of this, that in this day and age, what we're seeing in some cases is actually faith being imputed into the lives of children whose parents kind of missed out on that part, and now some of the kids are sort of speaking truth into their parents and then bringing their parents along who may have that great wisdom of age but are now learning faith from the generation behind them, which is a very interesting phenomena. But I think what God had in mind here is that the continuity, the faith, was dependent on honoring and respecting the wisdom and the practices of those preceding generations in order to have that great strength of knowing our story handed on to us. The fifth commandment is an incredibly beautiful and, in many cases, a very challenging one, but it is filled with blessing for God's people. Very quickly, the seventh commandment, very short and to the point, thou shalt not commit adultery. God is talking about the primal family unit of the married couple. That is to be an exclusive relationship. Adultery is any time that we take that exclusive commitment and then share it with somebody else. And I would like to also add something else. Adultery, while it is specifically talking about having an extramarital affair with another person, that affair can take other forms, my friends. When we begin to neglect the formative promise of faithfulness and exclusive faithfulness to one other person and allow something or someone else to divide our allegiance, it is adultery. And that may be our job, it could be some interest that we have, it could be simply a friendship that goes too far. It takes a lot of different points, but it simply isn't just acting out side sexually of the covenant of marriage. It takes other forms, and we need to really have a heart check on this one, folks. That commitment of faithfulness that we make, no matter what life may throw at us, is something that defines us, and it needs constant maintenance and attention. To think that we stand up one day and say, I am going to love you forever, and now I'm just going to kind of get on with the rest of my life, and we'll, you know, revisit that at the 50th anniversary. That is never going to happen. It needs to be something we attend to. God takes marriage so seriously. It is the crucible in which families and identities of children are formed. It is the fundamental way in which human beings organize themselves. It's where we experience love and forgiveness and reconciliation at its deepest form. And so God takes those marriage relationships so seriously. Now, when I, at the beginning of this message, I said, you know, when you think about family, what do you think about? And I know some people are like, wow, that's a really painful topic for me. Wow, our family isn't anything like what God had in mind. Wow, family has been a place of some real agony for me. I'm so happy that you're here, if that's true for you. I'm so glad that you are here, because God also has something else in mind in making these commandments. God also says there are some other ways that we learn to be family. It's called the church. The church is a place that doesn't replace biological families, but it's certainly God's way of supporting, encouraging, and strengthening those families. And for people where the family system has broken down and hurt and failed them, the church becomes a place of refuge where lives are put back together, where relationships are modeled and taught that we can take into other places of our life. Do you know the reason why my entire biological family is here? Most of you do. It's because of the extended family of the church. and the huge loss that we have had in the death of our sister, Ginny Check. Ginny and Al, who had no biological children, took my children under their wing. They mentored them and molded them and loved them. Our two oldest children, when they went through confirmation, were picked by Al and Ginny Check to be the kid that they wanted to particularly pour into spiritually, and they took that so seriously. The spiritual family of the church becomes a place for those of us who need to know how deeply we are loved by God to experience that. So many of the young people who come into our youth ministry experience a sense of family. They sit down and have meals around tables. They talk about things, and their interests are taken so seriously. They say, I wish I had this around me all of the time, as many of us have experienced. The church becomes a place of experiencing family because family matters to God. Would you pray with me? Thank you, Lord, so much for this beautiful family, this family of faith that comes together, who grieves together, who rejoices together, who shares life, who picks one another up, who visits the sick and cares for the hungry. Thank you, God, for the boisterous generosity and genuine love and laughter that pours out of this incredible family of us. Thank you for the messy family, God, the places that we have to really wrestle and struggle and learn how to talk and listen and love and forgive in the midst of some of the mess that life throws at us, God. We are just so thankful, Lord, that you love us, that you've given us this family, and that you call us your children. In Christ's name, amen.